everybody. We're back here on the air with Glenn Coble. And in this second half of the on the air program, I'm going to get a lot more personal. I always think that 4th of July is pretty personal to me. Things go on in the family. You know, you go, you have your cookout, and as Scott said, the most people serve hot dogs. Now, I'm sure they serve hot dogs and hamburgers or bratwurst or whatever, but the most cooked thing on 4th of July, apparently to Scott during his show, is hot dogs. I like hot dogs. I like good hot dogs. I like the really cheap ones, too. You put enough ketchup and mustard on them and onion, and they all taste the same to me. But in the second half here, I'm going to talk about personal stuff. Because 4th of July is kind of personal to me. I remember, I don't know, what do you remember about 4th of July? I remember quite often we would go and watch the fireworks, of course, but quite often it was up in northern Michigan. My father owned a cottage on Crooked Lake, which was about 8 miles from the Little Traverse, or not Little Traverse Bay, but yeah, Little Traverse Bay, that's what it was. Never mind. Which is up by Petoskey, Michigan. And we lived on this lake, and the lake was pretty big. It was, I guess, maybe 2.5 miles long, maybe 3 miles long, and probably a mile across. So it was a pretty big lake. And we'd go up there. Now, they didn't do 4th of July fireworks on the lake, but they did do it over at Traverse Bay. And you could sit either on the Petoskey side of the bay or on the Harbor Springs side of the bay and watch fireworks from both sides. And it was just beautiful. And we'd go up there and we'd pretend like we were rich and we'd mingle with the rich people and all their big boats and stuff like that. We had a great time up there. But it was just a wonderful family thing for the Coble family. We truly enjoyed doing that sort of thing. My family was pretty tight. Sister and I my sister was 10 years my senior. My brother was 8 years my senior, both of which have passed. We were pretty close. I was probably closer to my sister than my brother, just because my brother was kind of a hellion. But you know that you've heard the stories about preacher's kids, right? Well, he in the dictionary where it says preacher's kid, my brother's picture's there. he argued with everybody. He didn't like right from the beginning. He didn't like being a preacher's kid. However, I must say, if you would wonder who was the better Christian, and I'm putting air quotes around that, you were wondering who is the better Christian, probably my brother, from outward appearance, was the better Christian. As far as he went to church occasionally, he talked the good game because he was a businessman, and businessmen always have to act very like they're Christians. I know that's being very, I don't know. It's not being nice. Anyway, I did love my brother very much. And me being an atheist now, I assume that people would say I'm not very Christian. I'd like to tell all those people that I'm a good Christian. I have read the Bible several times, and I have read parts of the Bible several times. I think I've only read the whole Bible once in entirety and once in organized succession of books. I was trying to get the God and Country Award, and my father kind of pushed me into doing that. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with all this. Let's just go back to the family thing. And one of the things that always inspired me about family, have you ever heard the song Cats in the Cradle? Every time I hear that, and I heard that this morning, believe it or not, every time I hear that, I revel in how families can help each other so much, even though things like Cats in the Cradle, where dad doesn't really pay as much attention to the kid as you'd want him to, and then as the kid gets older, the kid doesn't pay as much attention to dad. But that's life. You should enjoy the fact that you are able to be together. You should enjoy the fact that, I'm sorry, Dad, can I borrow the car keys? I got to get out of here. You should enjoy those things. Those are moments of life that are just absolutely unmatched. And when I listen to that song, I remember my especially my sons, because it's about a son talking with his dad and his dad talking to the son. I think of my sons. I also think of my daughter, who was really a better son sometimes. I really enjoy listening to the words of that song. I was gone a lot as an assistant athletic director at two different universities. I traveled with the basketball and sometimes with the football teams, and occasionally with other teams that were going to, you know, like the Mid-American Conference Championship or one of the championships. That I traveled quite a bit. And so my kids did not see me on the weekends very much. If they did see me, they came to basketball or football games and watched me working in the press box or watched me working in the press area, and I probably didn't really talk to them very much, just because I was working. But you've got to take time. When you're at times like this, especially if you're able to get together with your family on the 4th of July, take time to look at them. Take time to listen to them. Take time to be a part of what they're doing. I think that'll go a long way in getting your family relationships really on the positive side. I know kids can be a pain in the neck sometimes. Well, I'm sure parents can too. I remember calling my mother all sorts of names under my breath. And my father, well, I didn't really ever call my father anything, because my dad was one of those dads you just didn't see, because on the weekend he was at the church all weekend. During the week, he was helping other people, which always seems strange to me. If I had a problem, it was kind of tough to get in to talk to him, because he was talking to all these other people that had all sorts of problems. But anyway, remember who your family is, and enjoy them. You don't have to, you know, the fact that we say I love you a lot, in my family, we don't say it a lot, but we say it fairly regularly. But you don't have to say I love you all the time, because if you don't think they know you love them, then you're not showing your love well enough, right? So show how much you care about them. It'll really help your family life immensely, I think. Maybe I'm up on this soapbox way too high, but on the 4th of July week, I really hope that all of you have wonderful relationships with your family. And if you don't, try and see if you can't mend that a little bit. You know, just a little. You don't have to forgive and forget and go crazy about it. Just mend it a little. You know, just say hi to that person, that son or mother or whatever that you haven't talked to in a long time. Because you're angry that they wouldn't let you do something, or you're angry that they're gone so much. You know, say hi and say, I love you, and just notice each other. Just noticing is more important than just about anything else, in my opinion. And that's a very humble opinion. One of the other things I wanted to tell you about, it was kind of interesting this week. I thought that I was going to have a new puppy. I don't know if you know, but if you listen to my show, The Progressive Life, you probably know that I had a little puppy. She was 17 years old when she passed away about 3 or 4 months ago. And I've been on the search for a puppy for about, well, ever since she left us. The last day of winter, of course. I've been on a search. My wife, I wasn't sure whether my wife really wanted a puppy, another one. You know, it's kind of hard to go through that process where the puppy passes. And usually, unless they're hit by a car, or something really bad happens to them, most of them linger. And that's a sad time for you. But Cheyenne lingered probably 2 years. But she lingered in a good way. I mean, she just got more and more tired. And she went with us everywhere, and she was very friendly and loved us and wagged her tail a lot. But, you know, you could tell she was just a little tired, more tired than she had been. She didn't have anything. Well, she had been blind most of her life anyway, so she didn't really have any, other than that, didn't have any problems. She wasn't sick or anything, so that was good. She was just getting old, like we all are. I know exactly how she is feeling right now. But, so anyway, we've been looking for a puppy dog. And I've run into some really disappointing situations. I've looked at puppy mills, which are really, I really don't like doing that. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people, and I understand why people go there. And I'll tell you why here. I'll tell you why in a few minutes. I've looked at shelters for puppies. I've looked at dog pounds. I've looked at you know, I've tried to find them out on the street. It used to be when I was a kid, you could walk down the street on a Saturday and somebody'd have a box of little puppies out front. And I'm looking for a little puppy. You know, I'm looking for something that won't be more than, you know, 25 pounds and when they're fully grown. And I'd prefer to have a little fluffy puppy, but I'm not opposed to short-haired puppies. I would prefer to have a female puppy, but I'm not, I would gladly have a cute little male puppy, as long as they're little. That's really the main criteria I have. It has to be under 25 pounds. I'm getting too old to lean over and pick up a 50-pound dog. We had a dog not too long ago that passed away, that weighed close to 100 pounds. And I don't think I want to do that anymore. O'Doul's was a wonderful dog, but boy, that was it was getting harder as I got older. So I've looked at a lot of places. And then I thought, I have a daughter-in-law that's a wonderful lady, and she sends me pictures of different sites. So that got me kind of interested in looking at where I could find shelters and stuff online. So I went online. Probably 2 months ago, I started online and I started filling out applications. And one of the problems I've found is a lot of these places, first of all, they require that you fill out an application. Now, I understand that. They don't want to let little puppy dogs go to somebody that's going to turn them into hamburgers, send them, you know, put them out in traffic or something like that. They want somebody that's going to take care of the puppy. I understand that. A lot of them want you to send them pictures of your house and the surrounding. I guess I understand that. Some of them will require that you have a home visit. My wife was a social worker in her younger days. And some of these stipulations are exactly what she had to do when she was dealing with people. Now, having a home visit for a puppy dog, I guess it's okay. Then there are other ones that want to know what you will do if you have to give the puppy up, you know, at a later date. Like Carol and I are 75, and we understand that if we have another dog that lives as long as Cheyenne lived, we will be in our 90s when that happens. And now my wife, who has grandparents and parents, all of whom lived into their 90s, my wife will probably be around. I probably won't. But they want to know all this stuff. Okay, so you fill out this form, and you give them all these answers, and you do the best you can to be as honest as you can. And then you send them in. And first of all, I struggle with computer forms anyway. But you send the form in, and then it tells you you didn't do something right. So you have to go back through the form, find out what you didn't do right, and correct that. And then it wants you to give them a password. And I understand that as well. But we're putting, every time we do things, we seem to be putting up one more hurdle to get over. And the more hurdles you put up there, I guess it means the more specific these sites will get. It is kind of interesting. There are certain sites that handles only small dogs that are fluffy, just like the ones I want. But they tend to be, they all have some sort of rehoming fee. Those tend to be very high in their rehoming fee because they know they have a lot of people that want them. But it's just another hurdle. So that those of us who, my wife and I live off of Social Security and some inheritance that my wife got. So we don't have tons of money to give away. But I was willing, we were willing to spend a decent amount of money to pay the rehoming fee. But after a while, you just say, oh my gosh, we have to do all this, and then we have to let somebody come look in our house. Not that we're embarrassed about our house, it's just annoying. What if we were not retired? We wouldn't be able to let you come look in our house. And then you find out that, well, some of the rules apply all the time, and other rules, if you know the people, they don't apply. It's kind of like the government, you know. If you know the mayor of the city, or you know the state senator, or you know the vice president, you're probably going to get things done a lot easier. Well, this, it kind of seems that way. So anyway, to make a long, long story short, and I'm not going to even try to make a long story short, my wife and I found 3 days ago, we found six little fluffy puppies, probably no older than about 10 weeks old, shelter had rescued from a puppy mill. And the puppy mills are kind of rough because, you know, the puppy mill will cost you, if you get a really wanted type dog, it'll cost you a couple $1,000s, which we couldn't afford anyway. But these little puppies had been rescued from a puppy mill. Apparently they weren't being treated correctly and they didn't have good place. And they were all, I guess, around 10 months or 10 weeks old. They all looked fluffy. They were all going to be little puppies. I think they were partial Shih Tzus, I think, with some other little puppy. And they were just absolutely gorgeous. But there were six of them. But I know I had done this a long time. You know, a couple of months I'd been looking every single day. But I thought with six there would be a chance that we might be able to get one. So I contacted this shelter. It was over by Dayton. Okay, and pretty far. I really wasn't planning on driving 100 miles to get a puppy. But there were six of them, so I thought there might be a good chance we might get one of these. And they were exactly what we wanted. Well, I wanted a female preferably, but I didn't mind a male. And they did have one female, maybe two, but the rest were male. But that didn't really bother me so much. So I called over there. They told me I had to fill out the application, which I did, online, sent it to them. They indicated that they got it. Oh, things are going well. Then they indicated that both the little females were gone. So we were down to four puppies. Now, this was 2-3 days ago, right? 2 days ago, we called them and we said, okay, we filled out the adoption form. What do we have to do now? Well, we'll make it as easy as possible. On your way over here, so they were basically saying we could come pick one up, but they weren't going to hold any of them for us, right? Which was... We're stepping off the end of the pier, right? But anyway, they said we have to do an over-the-phone interview before you can take any. And that's fine with me. I don't want to have little puppies going to bad places. So I said, okay, we'll take off. And this was yesterday? Yes, yesterday. We'll take off and head your way, and we'll do our phone interview at 2:30 while we're driving there, and then you have to do an in-person interview at 4, which sounded good. And I looked online. Now, let's see. One more of the puppies is gone. And you can see as they're leaving the screen. But I figure there are three puppies. So we left yesterday to go pick one of them up. We figured surely one will be there. We got halfway there and they called us. And I thought they were calling us to do the interview. No, they were calling us to tell us that all three were gone. So there were no puppies for us. So kind of frustrating, kind of heartbreaking. But my wife and I have really decided, and I've gone to our local shelter, I've gone to our dog pound, and I'm going to keep going there because I'd prefer to pick up a puppy dog that's local, but I really don't want, it's kind of interesting how many, what's the name of the dog that's so popular, not popular right now, but the dog that everybody's afraid of. Anyway, bull, you know who I mean, that there are so many of those around that it almost overwhelms these shelters, and I don't mind, but that's not the type of dog I want. I don't want a dog that's going to weigh 60 to 100 pounds, I really prefer little fluffy dogs, just because that's what my little Cheyenne was. I went. I have gone over to our local pounds and our local shelter, and they do a fantastic job. Wonderful people over there, at both places. But they just don't have the type of puppy we're looking for. Now, there was one little puppy at the shelter that I liked, but it was 8 years old, and I don't want to go through that anymore. Hey, we have somebody on the phone. Let's go see what's going on. Hi, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hey, Glenn, I just came out of the grocery store and heard you finishing your story about missing out on a pup.
Yeah.
What kind of dog were you looking for?
A small furry puppy.
not a particular breed, just a small.
No, just small and preferred with some hair.
Have you tried Delaware? The Humane Society in Delaware, my wife and I have gotten a couple of dogs from there over the years, rescued dogs.
Yeah, now Delaware happens to be one of the ones. There are like three places in Delaware you can go. And most of them are really kind of snooty about, not snooty, they're kind of difficult you have to jump through a lot of hurdles to get their stuff now.
Have you tried the one out on 37, the Humane Society? Like you're going towards 71?
I haven't gone there, but I've looked at their site, and maybe I should just go.
Yeah, I mean, our last, well, not the one we have now, but the last one that passed away in October a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. She came from Delaware, and I really didn't think that, I mean, they ask the general question. They want to make sure that the dogs go to a good home.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they were overbearing about it. The other place you could check is with the Delaware, the county I don't like to call it a dog pound, but that's what they used to call it.
Right.
The gentleman that runs that just lives down the street from me, and he's a really nice guy.
Is that right?
Yeah. You might check them, too, because every time I see him out in the yard or he walks by or whatever, we talk for a while, and I always ask him if, you know, I'm always looking for a boxer. A young boxer, if I can find another one, even though I don't need another dog.
Hard to find boxer, purebred boxers.
Yeah, it is. And our last one wasn't purebred. She had some Rhodesian Ridgeback in her, but she was enough of a boxer that we loved her anyway.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you have had such a positive experience, but a lot of these places, because of COVID, a lot of these places won't let you come and just come in. You have to have an appointment, which makes it really difficult.
And again, you'd have to check, but yep. I would check with the Delaware County pound as well.
Okay.
And his first name is Chuck, and I don't remember his last name, but he's the county dog warden, I guess you'd call, whatever.
And if I find him and I find a puppy that I really like, I can call you and you can get in touch with him, right?
Well, sure. I mean, like I said, if you go through the county down there, at least I know the guy. He's a neighbor and a really nice guy. But the sad thing right now, and I'm seeing this a lot on the news, a lot of people are returning dogs that took them when COVID started out.
Yes.
And a lot of the humane societies as well as the county facilities are now starting to get overcrowded and don't have room for new dogs because people are turning back in, and that just absolutely burns me up.
What is the name of the dog? The bull something?
Pit bull.
Pit bull, yes. There are so many pit bulls available.
Well, and here's the thing. I've dealt with dogs my whole life, and I had a pit bull mix. Mm-hmm. Pit bulls, yes, they get a bad reputation, and they can be a very mean dog, but it's all what you do with the dog once you have it.
Absolutely.
Especially if you can get a young one that hasn't been trained to be nasty. I've seen some of the sweetest pit bulls that you can imagine.
Well,
so I hate it when people lump all pit dogs in the same category.
Right.
They're not all nasty mean. Any dog can be made mean.
Well, recently,
by the way you train it.
Recently I've seen, and I have gone to a few of these places, and I've petted pit bulls. I love any dog, and I hate that they have such a bad reputation. But I'm getting older. I don't want to have a 60-pound dog or a 100-pound dog on my lap.
and I don't know whether I've told you this story before or not, but the one we have now is a little 25-pound Cocker Spaniel that we rescued from the Humane Society group. I think they're called Prevention for Cruelty to Animals or something, but it's over in the Wapakoneta area.
Oh, okay.
And that was a fluke. We were on a bus trip, and the lady that was leading the bus trip was also a volunteer and a foster for that agency, and she had just taken in this little Cocker Spaniel. It's a party color. It's white with a little, brown trim on it. And she was fostering it for a couple months and trying to find a home. We filled out the papers on the bus and stopped to see the dog when the bus got back to Wapakoneta and adopted it the next day. Some places, especially if they know you're real animal lovers, they'll expedite your case.
But that's
the size of dog we have right now. We've always had big dogs. We had a Cocker Spaniel years ago, but our most recent dogs have all been 50-pound, 60, 70-pound dogs. And right now, I'm loving this little Cocker Spaniel. She's as sweet as can be.
I just don't think I can give up the ship.
You'll find something.
No, I'm not going to give it up. And I don't want to criticize the people over in Dayton. They were kind enough to call me and let me know, hey, we've gotten rid of all six of those.
Sure.
So we could turn around rather than driving all the way there and then having them toss.
Right, and I can understand their position, too. When they have someone that's ready to adopt them, they've got to go. Because, like I said, right now, the facilities are all so overcrowded, it's just pathetic.
Why do you think
and it's all because people are being, I can't say the word I really want to call them, but taking an animal, keeping it for 9 months just because there's a pandemic on and you're stuck at home and you want something to do.
You think
and then turning it in when it's over just absolutely is appalling.
Yeah. Well, I hope that all people find what they want in life.
Me too. And hey, I'll see you on the third Thursday. And,
absolutely.
I think I'm going to try to come to the studio that day. I haven't seen the new studio.
Okay.
So I'm planning on coming in that day.
Don't expect a lot.
And, well, I'm not, but it'd be nice to sit across from you instead of having to talk to you on the phone.
Yeah.
And remember, we're going to talk about movies.
Movies. Okay.
We're going to spend a couple hours, and I got to mention,
movies.
I mentioned this to Scott earlier today, over the weekend, either on Saturday or Sunday, people will be able to find the musical 1776 being played.
Yes, I heard
that. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah. Now, I didn't realize you could get that on the air. Okay.
Yeah, every year TMC always plays it. Turner Classic Movies always plays
it. When was that created? Do you remember what year?
Oh, I think it was done sometime in the 90s, maybe.
Okay, all right. Huh.
But it's an excellent, it was adapted from the Broadway play.
And I think you said it was fairly true to history.
It is. It's fairly historically accurate,
yeah,
right.
That's cool.
There's a good little piece in there about the discussion between Ben Franklin and John Adams, mm-hmm, about who's going to be the national bird, the turkey or the eagle.
Yeah, like
you'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen that movie, so I'm going to look it up. Yeah.
Yep. I have it taped, obviously.
Okay.
Hey, talk to you later.
Thanks for your information. Talk to you later, Fred.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. It's kind of interesting. Fred's on. He's with the Historical Society, and he's on my show the third Thursday of every month, and we talk about lots of things. Even though he's with the Historical Society, he knows more stuff. He's kind of like Charlie used to be. He knows more stuff about more things than you can possibly believe. And we do talk about history. We talk a lot about presidential history. We talk, we do talk some about Marian history and stuff. So I hope you'll join us then on Thursday. He comes on at 10:15 on the third Thursday of every month. And we just shoot the bull. And, okay. Anyway, I know where I was going. Anyway, so if any of you know anybody, like Fred just said to me, people that he knows that are involved in that, I'm really looking. And my wife and I will be good parents. And we've already, I mentioned earlier that we're not young anymore, and we'll probably be in our 90s if the puppy dog lives as long as our last puppy dog lived, 17 years. But we've already made arrangements. If I happen to go and my wife happens to go before the puppy goes, my son down in Worthington will be glad to how's the puppy dog. So we've got that taken care of. Let's talk about something else here. I was we were talking about kind of personal stuff for me. Here we go. I'm back on here. Oh yeah, I was going to have my daughter on today with my grandson. As I think I mentioned earlier, my grandson was recruited by North Carolina. University of North Carolina, UNC, the big one, and he was recruited, and he agreed to go there. Now, he's only a sophomore, so he can, both sides can bail on that agreement, and that's one of the things you have to think about if you're a parent of a kid that is being recruited. There are certain time limits, and you have to get into it. And I've been out of the business long enough that I'm not going to tell you when the last time you can sign up, the last time that when you commit, you're committed, and they're committed. But also remember that a university that commits to giving you a scholarship, they are committing to 1 year. You don't necessarily get a full ride for 4 years. Not only that, but many of the scholarships, like for the non-revenue sports, and we called non-revenue sports, basketball and football are definitely revenue sports. Depending on the school, there are other sports that they consider revenue sports. But most of the non-revenue sport, or a lot of the non-revenue sports, don't give full scholarships to anybody. Or if they do, in baseball, they may give it to, like my grandson, who is a 6'5" left-handed pitcher, which is a highly sought-after size and position, they might give a tuition scholarship, or they may give a full ride depending on the school, they won't give all of their scholarships as full rides. A lot of the schools will give you, and if you have a young one that's being recruited right now, make sure that you talk about this with the coach. Are you planning on giving him a full scholarship, or are you only going to give him room and board, or are you only going to give him books? And they divide these scholarships up that way. You can get any portion of a scholarship. You can get books, you can get room and board, you can get tuition. I'm trying to think if there's a fourth thing that they divide it off of it. But many of them, that's how they get more players. They offer them a scholarship, and depending on the school, depending on the honesty of the coach or the forthrightness of the coach, they may not tell you that the scholarship you're getting offered is only room and board or only tuition. You know, they don't tell you that. Now, hopefully, most of them will, but you need to ask to make sure that if your kid is being recruited, especially if your kid is being recruited and he's a junior going into a senior, which is really the time where schools are starting, they're having to respond, they're having to commit officially, and the kid is having to commit officially. You need to make sure you know what the kid is committing to. And you also need to keep in the back of your head that if your kid does some bad stuff, you know, he goes out and gets drunk and drives his car into the girl's dorm or something like that, he may not have a second year scholarship. They can take it away from you. Now, if it's probably more the rule that they will continue your scholarship than not the rule, but you need to know that. You need to talk about that with you need to be frank with the coach that you're talking to. My daughter was a soccer coach. Women's soccer coach at Mount Olive University, and she was really brutally frank with her athletes, and at least that's what I understand. And sometimes you lose kids because they want to think that they're, you know, the best of the best, and you're telling them they're just another kid, you know. And most kids, there are very few kids that are going to go on when they go to college and become professional athletes. But most of them think they're going to become professional athletes. I remember that dozens of kids that I've talked to in my 18 years of intercollegiate athletics, dozens of them have told me they were sure they were going to be professional athletes. And I think at last count, I had 18 players that played for one of my teams that became professional athletes at the top level. I had some that went to Europe, and I guess they call themselves professionals because they're paid. And I had some that made baseball teams, lower level baseball teams, but not, you know, most of them don't make professional teams. Hang on, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone.
Hi, you're on the air. How can I help you? Hello, you're on the air. Uh-oh, I lost you. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. How can I help you?
Go ahead.
Okay, you called us, right?
Yeah, I did. I was just want to know what your address. What is your street address?
Our street address is 523, and it's brand new. I mean, not the building, but this is our newest address. We moved here about 3 months ago. It's 523 South Prospect Street, and it's you know how Prospect kind of divides off one road goes towards.
Route 4 and the other one bends back into Delaware Avenue. Anyway, we're right before that that bend.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, you're right there in the bend?
We're before that bend. Yeah.
Okay.
523,
got you.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Come on by and say hi.
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Probably have somebody there coming to pick up a prize. We gave a lot of prizes away. Scott had a lot of questions on the air today. I have a bunch of questions I'm going to ask if we need to during the swap shop about the 4th of July and different interesting things about, you know, who signed the 4th of July, how many people were signed on such a day, you know, lots of stuff like that. Tune in the next, we're going to be going to break here in about 5 minutes. So in about 20 minutes, we'll go over to Swap Shop and you can call in and do your swapping and your shopping and we'll have a good time getting rid of some of the stuff that's stuck out in your garage. If you have questions about if you have a kid here in town, or wherever you're listening, if you have a kid that's being recruited, don't take it lightly. I'll be more than happy to talk to you off the air and or on the air about things you can do to make it a better opportunity for you. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at that country classified paper they put out?
I have not.
Well, they have a lot of mics at the beginning of that, like, you know, dachshund, toy poodles, Pomeranians, boxers, you name it. They got a lot of nice stuff in there they have.
Would I be able to pick that up, like, at Rural King or?
No, I pick it up at Kroger's right there where you come out the door.
Yeah.
That little green box.
Okay. I'll
right
go look
there.
At that. Thanks.
Yeah, and then that other place that Fred was talking about, I got mine from there years ago, and they was really nice down there on 36 going towards 71.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a good time, I mean, with them and stuff, and out in the dog walk back out in the space where you walk your dog and get used to him. And
yeah.
I had him up to 15 years before he passed away.
That's the hardest thing. I have a hole in my heart I just can't fill.
It is. We got two toy palms right now.
Uh-huh.
It's just like your family, man. If anything happens to them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go look on that paper.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks. All right, have a great day.
You too now.
Bye-bye. What a nice thing to let me know about. I didn't know there was such a paper. I'll go out and find that and see if I can't find it. Now, I have been looking online. You know, there's, what is it called? Anyway, online I've been looking for, you know, you can go to, what is the name of the thing? You can go and you can put in what you're looking for, and it'll give you an idea if anybody's trying to sell it in your local area. And every time I go there, though, there are all sorts of people that try to play tricks on you. Why do people want to make people miserable? I don't understand at all. There are, I mean, most of them, I would say more than 50% of them are honest, but there are an awful lot of people out there trying to either make a buck off of you or trying to pull a joke on you. I don't know why they think that's funny as the police car goes by the house. But anyway, I hope you aren't taken advantage of. We've got about a minute left, and we'll come back and we'll do Swap Shop. Don't forget, if you want to sell something on Swap Shop, or if you have an item or an event, a nonprofit event that you're trying to advertise, give us a call at 7403383. I couldn't remember our phone number. 740-383-9944. Okay? And we will be glad to put that on the air. And for some reason or other, I have hiccups right now.
And maybe in the 15 minutes while we're doing the news, I'll get rid of my hiccups. We have a few things that have been sent in to us that I will mention. Like we have a food distribution thing, and we have a flea market. But if you got something like that, we'll be glad to put it on the air for you. And if you have a little puppy dog you're trying to get rid of, call in on Swap Shop. I know a guy that's looking. All right. For some reason or other, my microphone is going in and out and in and that sounds like a song, doesn't it? All right. Well, make sure you come back. This is Glenn Coble. You've been listening to On the Air. And we'll be back here in about 15 minutes. And please come back. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1.